Thank you. Yeah, I'm Hunter Frame. I'm with Virginia Tech. I'm actually field crops agronomist, but for those of you who heard me speak in other meetings, I am definitely labeled and painted with the cotton brush for Virginia. Sirius Minerals and Fran Pierce was able to contact me probably 2.5 years ago to start working on some polyhalite work in cotton. And Fran will probably tell you, if you talk to me, our first conversations, I was really pumped up about having another sulfur source for Virginia on our coastal plain soils, as well as a potential competitor for KMAG, which our producers like to use, but the supply has been limited in our area here recently. I won't get too much into this because it sounds like Sirius Minerals, they've kind of outlined where polyhalite's being mined in terms of the UK and where the deposit's at. And I think they've been approved for mining operations there. But anyway, this is where it's at in the northeastern corner of the UK on the coast is where the deposit's at for polyhalite. So having a multi-nutrient granular fertilizer, especially a potassium source and a sulfur source for cotton, is critical in our coastal plain soils. Right now, SOP is priced a little too high for our cotton producers. Tobacco guys use it quite a bit in Virginia, but our cotton guys is priced a little too high. KMAG has become an issue, being able to get a supply of that. So with the issues we have with potassium and sulfur managing in coastal plain soils as mobile nutrients, and we have low CEC, low organic matter, and low water holding capacity soils, these nutrients tend to leach, and availability issues are a problem. So we're evaluating polyhalite on cotton, one, to mitigate the potassium deficiencies we typically see during bloom, and also to provide that sulfur, as we're seeing more and more sulfur deficiencies in cotton and corn in coastal plain. And I'm looking at this as hopefully a direct competitor with KMAG or SOPM in our systems. So objectives, we looked at, and I apologize for the jargon in this talk with cotton. So if you're not familiar with cotton, we go by growth stages. And we took uptake and we looked at specifically potassium and sulfur, as well as calcium and magnesium uptake during the growing season at match-edge square stage of development, which is that first reproductive growth stage where the plant switches kind of from a vegetative stage and switches to a reproductive. The squares are the beginning of the blooms, which eventually turn into bowls in cotton. And then at cutout, and cutout's defined when you have nodes above white flower less than 5 in cotton. So we would come in, you have some mature bowls, some immature bowls, and we would sample the plant components there and determine uptake at cutout, which has been correlated to maximum biomass for cotton. And then we also looked at lint yield, and we did this for 4 potassium rates and 4 sources or blends. So we had a randomized complete block design, 17 total treatments. We used MOP as one of the sources, polyhalite, 100% blend of polyhalite. Then we went back and made a 50% MOP, 50% polyhalite blend during the study. And then we looked at an MOP bulk blend with granular gypsum as well as granular kieserite, which is magnesium sulfate, and looked at how that is going to compare to that polyhalite 50-50 blend. We looked at 4 potassium rates, 37, 67, 100, and 120 kilograms of K, or 134 kilograms of K2O per hectare. This correlates very well with our range of recommendations currently in Virginia for cotton. For low soil testing, our maximum recommended rate is 134 kilograms per hectare. What we'll see in 2016, if we had had good weather, I think we would have seen that wasn't a high enough K2O rate to maximize cotton yields. We did 2 sites over 2 years. We had a high yield environment, which was on the Tidewater Research Station in 2015. Medium to high soil test K. We'll get into the data a little bit later in the talk. And then we had a low yield environment. We went off station Sirius. They wanted us to find a low soil testing K fields. And on our experiment station, that's been hard to do because of the history of management. There hadn't been a lot of fertility research done. So these cotton fields had gotten 130 to 150 kilograms per hectare K2O applied year in and year out, regardless of soil test. Then we did 2 statistical analysis of variance, one looking at single treatment factors for all 17 treatments, and then we split out the rate the factorial treatment design rate by a source and looked at the four rates by the four sources during the study. Alpha level is set at 0.05. This just gives you an indication of the different treatments that we had. One thing we also did, we did some regression analysis for the sulfur rates. As you can see, polyhalite had, we applied quite a bit of sulfur during the study, and we wanted to look at those sulfur rates, one, to see if we maximize yields across those sulfur rates in cotton, and if we had a sulfur effect as well as potassium effect, which we did see in 2016. So this is two pictures of the experiment site during the study. So on the left is 2015. You see quite a bit of difference in the growth of cotton at our research station. Moisture was not limited. These are both sandy loam, loamy sands. Not a lot of bit of difference in texture or CEC among the sites, but big difference in soil exchangeable potassium and organic matter. In 2016, we had a fairly substantial drought in August, which is a critical period in cotton in our growing area. It's where cotton is setting bolls, and if you have any stress during that period, because cotton is a perennial plant, it'll shed those bolls and shed those fruiting sites. And we'll see some pictures later of what the cotton looked like when we sampled it at cutout. This is right before defoliation. This is a check plot, and you can see in the back right corner the plots look a little bit better. But this had no potassium or sulfur applied, and it actually yielded less than 100 pounds of lint to the acre, or 100 kilograms of lint to the acre. So this is the Malic 1 extractable nutrients, and we just really want to focus on the potassium in this slide. Difference between 2015 and 2016, as you see, there's almost a five-fold difference in soil exchangeable K or plant available K at the locations. 18 is really low. As I talked to some of our soil fertility guys in the state, they've never seen levels that quite that low in terms of parts per million K on our soil tests. I wondered, a farmer, we identified the field, his exact words for me, well, it'd be interesting to see what we could do on this field because, in my opinion, the land's just good enough to hold the earth together. So, and I think if we would have gotten rainfall, we would have seen an even larger spread in yield. We definitely had some differences in that field. So this is 2015 biomass. Like I said, we had a medium to high soil test at this location for potassium. We just saw no significant differences in biomass at the match head square, the MHS column, as well as at cutout with the individual plant components in 2015. What I really want to point out in this slide is look at the difference in the total biomass. We're at 7 to 7,500 kilograms per hectare total biomass at this location. As we move into 2016, it's a drastic decrease because of that the drought during August. So here's 2016. As you see, it's about a five-fold decrease in terms of biomass. We did see actually a statistical difference in biomass among the 17 treatments with the trend that the polyhalite and MOP poly blend had higher biomass accumulation due to, one, potassium availability, but also sulfur availability with those two blends, and we'll get into a little bit more of that when we talk about yield. But the bracts, which is the actual physical bowl of the cotton plant, when the bowl opens up, the dried, pointy, if you've ever hand harvested cotton or been around cotton, if you go to hand harvest it, sometimes your fingers will get pricked by the ends of the bracts. They're the actual outside of that bowl. This is 2015 potassium uptake. We saw no difference among treatments, among rates or blends in terms of potassium uptake. The one key takeaway point in this, as we look at this versus 2016 data later on, we see that we're around that 140 kilograms of K2O per hectare uptake. And if you look in the literature at this stage of development in cotton, that's typically for about a three-bale cotton crop. That's what you're looking for, is that 120 to 140 kilograms per hectare K2O uptake. We hit that. Even with some of our seed cotton being that it was immature at this stage of growth, but we're in the ballpark on our uptake. In 2015, we took soil samples in this study, pre-plant, before fertilizer were added, and then after harvest. And one thing that was interesting in the Malic 1 exchangeable K2O was that MOP increased soil test levels alone of K2O. However, at the same rates, at the 101 and 134 kilograms per hectare rates, the blends did not increase soil test K at this location. And this is interesting to me. I think this goes back to the competition between the cations for exchange complex maybe in our soils. And because we have such low CECs, by adding calcium and magnesium in that blend, the potassium may leach in our sandy soils because it's being outcompeted for those exchange complex on our clays, what little clay we have, or inorganic matter exchange sites in our soils. So this is something to keep in mind, whereas the MOP-only blends were able to drive off some of those calcium-magnesium ions on the exchange complex, which was interesting. We haven't gotten our soil test back for 2016, but I really am interested to see if we were able to do this again in 2016. So here's potassium uptake in 2016, and again, we didn't see any differences in terms of potassium uptake. I know there's a lot of variability, but if you look at the y-axis, the highest potassium uptake we saw was 35 kilograms per hectare. So we decreased it by almost four times because of the weather and the drought in August. The total biomass was much lower, and then we had dropped our potassium uptake, which makes sense. It increased the variability in our data as well, even though we were able to see responses in 2016 in yield. So when we looked at the factorial in 2016 analysis, no significant difference in K uptake for match head square, which is an earlier growth stage than cutout. However, we did maximize K uptake at 34 kilograms of K2O per hectare at both match head square and cutout across potassium sources during the study. And again, that's more weather related, that rate, than it was in terms of actual potassium response. We just didn't have the moisture to put on any more biomass at that site. No differences in magnesium or calcium in 2016 or 2015. And a big reason for this is, one, we have peanuts in our rotation, which you have gypsum being applied or calcium sulfate being applied to those. And in 2016, we actually followed peanuts in that field. And then magnesium, we routinely lime our soils in Virginia. So we're using dolomitic limestone. So we're putting on calcium magnesium carbonate almost on a yearly basis. So we really have a large component of our that we need for magnesium and calcium being supplied in lime, and then if you have peanuts, the gypsum supplies calcium as well. And then weather conditions definitely influence yield. So the picture on the bottom was taken when we took biomass samples at a location in 2016. As you can see, the cotton looks worlds better than when we took it at right before defoliation in September. This was the bottom picture was taken in early August, top picture was taken into September, and you can just see a total difference in how the cotton was responding at that time when we had good soil moisture. By the time late August hit, I had a field day at this location, and cotton producers looked at it, and multiple of them said that they probably on this field would claim insurance. So when we look at the yields, we really have to take that into account that one site we had yields approaching three bales. At one site we had yields that were a lot lower. So this is just some sulfur uptake. Match head square, this is 2015. We got a great sulfur response on the regression analysis of both growth stages. 2016, that was a little bit limited by weather. But again, we had lower uptake, but we still saw a significant regression analysis for uptake at the 2016 location as well. This is looking at sources, polyhalite. Because we applied more sulfur, we saw a significant increase in sulfur uptake at the cutout, total uptake, and then the blend was the second highest, followed by the MOP and MOP plus blend. This was interesting because we did apply sulfur with that MOP plus blend. However, it performed similarly to the MOP only. And that's one thing we're going to hash out. Why is that blend, the bulk blend with the kieserite and the gypsum, not performing the same as the polyhalite? And here's the yields. Like I said, 1600 kilograms per hectare in 2015. And we didn't see a significant response among treatments, but when we looked at 2016, we did. However, yields were substantially lower, with approaching 434, I think, was our highest kilograms per hectare of lint in 2016. When we looked at the factorial analysis, we optimized yields at 67 kilograms. The MOP plus poly blend achieved the highest yields across all potassium rates, followed by the polyhalite 100% blend, and then the two MOP blends were the lowest. And then just going back, one, weather played a huge part. However, we did see K deficiencies at the site. This was some of our plot picture taken from the plots. This is textbook potassium deficiency in cotton. We did see potassium responses as well as sulfur responses in 2016, but that dry August really hurt us at that site. The sulfur in polyhalite seems to be plant available and seems to be more plant available than a MOP blend looking at gypsum and the kieserite. And then the 50-50 MOP poly blend performed the best for us in terms of yield in 2016. And I'd like to thank Sirius Minerals for funding the work. Lewis Everett was our cooperator, Everett Farms in Virginia, and then our technician and graduate students. And with that, I will take any further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Flame. My error is from Dr. Flame from Virginia Tech.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. But we run out of time. I think we have a question in discussion times. So we have to move to the next speaker.